This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
The travel ban gets an adjustment. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. Friday, June 30th. Welcome aboard. Here's what's up this hour.
The Trump administration's travel ban is in effect, but there's been a slight change. The State Department now says fiancés will be allowed to obtain visas.
The House has passed legislation that cracks down on so-called sanctuary cities. Here are the different angles to the measure.
President Trump is making news for another social media post. This time, he's going after two cable TV personalities.
And the growing hobby of trying to spot the most unusual shipping containers.
There is a small group of people that engage in a hobby called container spotting, which is, I guess, analogous to bird watching, and they keep their eyes peeled in container yards and so forth for the most unusual containers they can find.
Wall Street Journal reporter Erica Phillips on container spotting. She's here in about 20 minutes. Well, the Trump administration's temporary travel ban is now in effect, and there's already been a tweak to the policy. The State Department reversed course late yesterday and said that fiancés will be included as close family members who are allowed entry when traveling from Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. The Trump administration had previously decided that grandparents, grandchildren, and fiancés would be barred from obtaining visas while the ban was in place. Meanwhile, this protester was at Boston's Logan International.
People that are going to be scrutinized, is it a close relationship? Is it not? You know, it's just, it really is a bit of a can of worms, I think.
Also, the state of Hawaii last night asked a federal judge to determine whether the Trump administration had interpreted the court's decision too narrowly about certain family members. Separately, the administration expected to avoid the chaos seen the first time around since there was 72 hours notice given this time. Last time, the ban impacted people who were already on flights headed to the U.S. New divisions have opened among Senate Republicans over their proposed health care legislation, even as they edge closer to hammering out some agreements to shore up support for the bill. The Wall Street Journal says new fights revolved around a group of Republicans who said they were open to preserving Obamacare's 3.8% tax on investment income. Senate Republicans had hoped to rewrite their health care bill by today. That way, the CBO would have time to evaluate the new version while lawmakers are away for the July 4 recess. The continued disputes made that an increasingly unlikely scenario, however. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Preferred doctors have become less accessible to many patients, and plans have grown less desirable, but more expensive. Americans deserve better than that.
The tax position, by the way, is at the heart of long-standing Republican orthodoxy in opposition to such taxes, and conservative senators quickly condemned the idea, including Bob Corker of Tennessee, Mike Rounds of South Dakota, and Marco Rubio of Florida. Conservatives said the move would amount to a 180 on pledges they had made to voters to repeal as much of Obamacare as possible. Well, as Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell races against the clock to revise health care legislation before lawmakers leave for their July 4 recess, congressional Democrats and activists are ratcheting up pressure to keep consensus from forming on the GOP side. But as Caitlin Huey Burns at Real Clear Politics points out, there are risks in that strategy. Caitlin, what do we have?
Well, looking at the way in which Democrats in the minority party in Washington are looking to defend the health care law, which, of course, was the signature accomplishment of former President Obama. So they're kind of in this tough bind where there are a lot of problems on the Republican side, a lot of divisions that are delaying passage of this bill. But I've been talking to Democrats who say, look, we can't take that for granted. They are very focused on making sure that these divisions on the Republican side still exist. and also trying to present themselves as people who are ready at and willing to strike some bipartisan deals to fix the bill. But of course, if they ever get to that step, that will open divisions on the Democratic side, with some of the more liberal lawmakers calling for fixes that involve single payer, moving towards single payer.
Right. Have Democrats actually rallied about around a single point or two or three for fixes they'd like?
They haven't, but if you look over the past several years and even recently, they have proposed things that address things like, you know, prescription drug prices. There was a bill introduced by Senator Tim Kaine, of course, a former vice presidential candidate, that would require federal funds to help people enroll in the exchanges. So the main point of contention here, as we're talking about whether there is a possibility for Democrats and Republicans to come together on some kind of bipartisan legislation, we have to remember that Republicans and Democrats want very different things from this bill. The suggestions that Democrats have in order to save and fix the Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare, rely on increased federal spending, increased federal involvement, and of course that runs counter to what Republicans want to do with this legislation.
If Republicans can't get this done, can they credibly push the idea that Democrats are to blame, that they want to hang on to Obamacare and that they promised they would, you know, block us at every turn? But can Republicans play that game or no?
Well, they certainly will try if this bill fails, if their attempts to repeal and replace the legislation, the law, fail. But I think that's going to be a hard needle for them to thread, particularly since they are the ones that are in control of Washington right now. Remember, they campaigned for the past 7 years on repealing and replacing Obamacare, and now they're in the position to do it. They don't have consensus on their side about how to go about it. So Democrats are saying Republicans completely own this issue now. But I also would note that if they are able to pass, if Republicans are able to pass something, Democrats might wonder if they had missed some opportunities to make changes while they had majorities in Congress. Of course, that would be difficult only 2 years after the legislation originally passed. But there is going to be some concern, I think, among some Democrats.
We're speaking with Caitlin Huey Burns, national political reporter at Real Clear Politics, about her story entitled Questions Loom for Dems in Opposing GOP on Healthcare. You wrote, too, Democrats are portraying themselves as ready to work across the aisle to fix Obamacare, imploring the Republican colleagues to drop the bill and start over. What about that potential in, say, Republicans trying to focus on tax reform and sort of shelving Obamacare for a while?
Right. I would not be surprised if they go, if Republicans go that route that you just described, whether they put this to rest, if they can't reach consensus and go ahead with tax reform. Republicans need an opportunity to show that they can actually govern, and they want to move on to tax reform very quickly.
Thanks, Caitlin. Caitlin Huey Burns at Real Clear Politics. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday. Legislation that's passed in the House could mean the loss of millions of dollars in federal grants for cities and counties that don't help federal immigration authorities, the so-called sanctuary cities. The legislation represents the Republicans' most aggressive effort yet to force local communities to cooperate with President Trump's immigration enforcement policies. New Mexico Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham.
They're really working hard to scare the American people, right, the public, into believing that these are public safety bills. These are bills intended to keep your family safe.
Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly.
The word sanctuary calls to mind someplace safe, but too often for families and victims affected by illegal immigrant crime, sanctuary cities are anything but safe.
In addition, the legislation would protect those jurisdictions that honor detainers from being sued by promising the federal government will take their place in potential lawsuits. And the bill allows crime victims to sue jurisdictions that don't comply if they're harmed by someone who is released. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a scaled-back version of President Trump's travel ban took effect last evening. Stripped of provisions, it brought protests and chaos at airports worldwide in January. But Hawaii has already filed a court challenge to the limitations on the family relationships people from six mostly Muslim countries need to claim to avoid a travel ban. This activist also doesn't understand the bona fide relationship part of it.
If your grandparent does not count as a bona fide relationship, what does then?
The Hawaii motion asks a federal judge to clarify that the administration cannot enforce the ban against relatives not defined by the administration guidelines. A Republican opposition researcher who implied he worked with Michael Flynn launched an effort to obtain Hillary Clinton's emails that he believed were hacked by Russia. According to the Wall Street Journal, Peter Smith, a GOP operative and private equity executive, launched the project over Labor Day weekend in 2016. Smith told people he recruited to the effort that he was working with Flynn, who would later briefly serve as President Trump's national security advisor. The International Chemical Weapons Watchdog today confirmed the deadly sarin gas was used in an attack in Syria in April. The U.S., U.K., and other Western powers had previously accused President Bashar al-Assad's government of using the nerve agent. The Trump administration says it's taking steps to expand oil drilling in the Arctic and Atlantic oceans. As President Trump continues to push for U.S. energy dominance in the global market, the Interior Department is rewriting a five-year drilling plan established by the Obama administration with an eye toward opening areas in the Arctic and Atlantic Oceans that are now off limits to drilling. It's one of six initiatives that the president unveiled yesterday in hopes of generating more energy exports and jobs. Well, if you're planning to fire up the grill this 4th of July, some tips from Chef Robert Ramsey. Fire up the grill early. A preheated grill will reduce the risk of sticking. Leave the food alone until it releases from the grill. Put the presentation side down first and use the 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock method. Angle the food as if it were pointed to 2 on the clock, then rotate once per side to the 10 position to get those fancy cross marks.
I'm one of those people, I have to set alarms for everything when I have stuff on the grill.
You set alarms?
Because I'll forget.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're probably doing 10 things at once, right?
Yes, and I'm not a good multitasker.
Yeah.
So alarms for this. I got the microwave alarm. I got the oven alarm. I got my phone alarm.
Do you make the nice cross marks?
I do.
Yeah.
And then overcook the meat. Yeah, that's
no.
What I do. That's what I do. Nice, you know, especially the really expensive, like fillets and stuff. Ruin it. 23 minutes after the hour. Hey, happy Friday to you. How about this for a hobby? A small group of connoisseurs has taken up container spotting, hanging around shipping yards to identify the globe-trotting metal boxes by color, size, vintage, origin country, and other details. There's even something called the Intermodal Container webpage, where photos from container spotters around the world are cataloged. It's a story from Wall Street Journal reporter Erica Phillips. Erica, what's trending?
Yeah, so I cover supply chain for the journal, which is everything from container shipping to e-commerce delivery to your front door. And so I encounter a lot of shipping containers in my daily reporting, and I go to ports, and I'm at container yards and rail yards and so forth. And in the process of that, I came to find that there is a small group of people that engage in a hobby called container spotting, which is, I guess, analogous to bird watching, where they very knowledgeable and they about containers and about the history of container shipping companies, and they keep their eyes peeled in container yards and so forth for the most unusual containers they can find. And this is sort of a hunt for some of the more expert container spotters out there. It is something they go to great lengths to do.
That's funny. Are you allowed to be in these container yards as just a regular Joe citizen and not some staffer of some kind?
Well, yeah, there's a bit of a gray area there. Some of the spotters that I talked to said, you know, they approach someone, a gatekeeper or something, and say, you know, I'm just really interested in containers. I'd like to take a look around. And usually the people who work at the container yards are so sort of taken aback by that and confused that often they'll say, well, okay. In the case of Charles Fox, one of the container spotters I shadowed for a day, he said he's actually befriended some of these gatekeepers because they end up being quite knowledgeable about these containers just from having worked in the field for so long. And he managed to make friends with some of these folks, and they kind of help him out, and they'll call him up if there's an unusual one that they see and he needs to come down and check it out.
Get out of here. That's funny. Is there a... I don't know, a list of, like, the best yards? I suppose they're always near ports of some kind.
No, there's no list of yards. You know, these businesses are often very small, and you just kind of see them. Once you start paying attention to shipping containers, you start seeing these places all over the place, and
yeah.
It's actually kind of cool. You know, I'm one of those people now where if I'm driving on the freeway and I see a truck that has a shipping container on the chassis, I'm craning my head and looking, oh, what company is that? You know,
right.
Where'd it come from? And so forth. So you know, it's hard not to get a little bit into it once you start doing it.
Wall Street Journal reporter Erica Phillips will never look at a shipping container the same way again. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Friday, June 30th, final day of the month. Glad you're on board. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Travel ban is in effect and fiancés are being allowed in. Last minute change. House passes sanctuary cities legislation. Trump sends a harsh tweet about MSNBC hosts. Fox News poll, by the way, finds 71% say Trump's tweets hurt his agenda. Former National Security Advisor Susan Rice will testify about unmasking. Explosion at a power plant outside Tampa killed 2 people and critically injured 4. Police say tennis star Venus Williams was in a car crash that resulted in a fatality, and troubled Chicago teenagers attend their own mock funeral. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, Democrats are vowing to make their biggest effort ever to knock off Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan in 2018, hoping that a president unpopular in most polling will be a help. But after a whopping victory by Mr. Ryan last fall, Democrats have their work cut out for them. It's a story from Craig Gilbert, Washington bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Craig set this up.
So he's got a district that is modestly Republican and modestly pro-Trump. If you go by the election results in 2016, Trump won it by 10 points. But his race is going to be nationalized, his re-election race for Congress, nationalized in a way it's never been before. We've already seen that kind of take a toll on Paul Ryan's standing in Wisconsin. For the last several years, he had been the most popular Republican in Wisconsin because, in addition to the support he got from Republican voters, he was a less polarizing figure than other Republicans. He got, you know, more support than you would expect for a Republican from Democrats and from independents. But that kind of part of his appeal has really been eroded by the partnership with Trump and by how polarized everybody is. That's brought his numbers down from where they were before. And that could mean that he's at a minimum, that he's not going to, that he'll have a more competitive race, and he's not going to get the kind of massive margins he typically gets in his home district.
All right. Does that mean, however, that Democrats plan to spend a lot of time, energy, and money on trying to knock him off?
I think there's going to be a much bigger effort than they've made in the past. There's already like 3 different Democrats have talked about running against him. He's going to have the same Republican primary opponent, which wasn't a very competitive opponent as he did last time. So he's going to have a lot on his plate. There'll be a lot of national attention because he is the House Speaker. It's still a big hill to climb for Democrats, because not just because the district, you know, tilts Republican, but because Ryan has a history of running well ahead of the top of the ticket in his district, whether it's the governor or president running in a given year. You know, he spent a lot of time in that district. He's a hometown boy, and he's fairly well-liked. The question is whether in this political environment, his kind of home turf advantage gets eroded.
We're speaking with Craig Gilbert, Washington bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's written a piece entitled "Why Paul Ryan's Race for Congress Next Year Bears Watching, Even If He'll Be Hard to Beat." All right, so you point out he won by 35 points last fall. It's like the Packers leading with 35-0 in the fourth quarter against the Browns or something, isn't it? I mean, not impossible,
yeah.
but
no,
that's tough.
And that's important. here because, again, we're talking about a guy who's going to be a pretty overwhelming favorite to win. Now, it's also worth looking at what happened in 2012 when he was on the Republican ticket with Mitt Romney, and that brought his numbers down to the point where he was only winning by 11 points instead of 30 points because of this sort of polarizing effect. And his district is interesting. It's different from a lot of Republican districts. Like I said, it tilted Republican, but it's got three Democratic cities in it, Janesville, Racine, and Kenosha. It's got a bigger sort of Democratic constituency than a lot of Republican districts, in addition to kind of the Republican suburban in rural parts of his district. It's got some Trump areas, but it's also got some Republican suburbs where Trump is kind of underperformed. So there's a lot of different kind of political dynamics in his district that are going to be interesting to watch.
Mm. All right. So did you point out, too, the Democratic enthusiasm for Hillary Clinton just really wasn't there, at least compared to Obama last fall?
No, that happened. That was one of the reasons why Trump was able to kind of end this long Republican losing streak in presidential races in Wisconsin. So one of the things that would have to happen among the many things for Democrats to be competitive against him is that they'd have to really turn out those voters in those cities I was talking about. They'd probably have to be an enthusiasm gap between Democrats and Republicans. So, you know, if Democrats were able to sort of turn this into a reasonably competitive race, it would be a pretty bad sign for Republicans nationally.
You said Janesville leans Democratic. Isn't that Mr. Ryan's hometown?
It is. So one of the interesting things about Paul Ryan is that, A, he's got some Democratic constituencies and some small Democratic cities in his district, which a lot of Republicans don't have. So he's had to kind of learn how to communicate with these people. And he's, again, he's done better with some of those voters than a Republican typically would. And his hometown is a Democratic city, a city that he actually lost in 2012 when he was on the Republican ticket, the first time he'd lost his home city of Janesville when he was running for re-election.
Thanks, Craig. It's Craig Gilbert, Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Welcome into Friday. Glad you're on board. It's time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online the past few days. We're joined now live by Google Trends expert Charlotte Smith. Good morning, Charlotte. Start with Harry Potter.
Good morning, Gordon. And yes, this week marks the 20th anniversary of the Harry Potter series. Even though, fun fact, the books are now 20, but Harry the character turns 37 this year. Mm,
that is a fun fact. You're right. That is. I'm having fun now.
It's Friday. What's not to have fun with?
I read the first book and, you know, thought it was good, but that was kind of enough. You know, I got the feel for it. I'm good. I moved
on. It's not too late to revisit, Gordon.
Okay. You're right. How about Serena Williams?
Well, so this trend is about Serena Williams, but also John McEnroe, because he was getting served on social media this week after insinuating that Serena is inferior to her male tennis counterparts. His comment was, if she played in the men's circuit, she'd be like 700 in the world as opposed to the best athlete in the world. But despite his comments, search interest in Serena was still 250% higher than him.
Very good. I hope that leads to more sales of her products and all that other good stuff. And you know what? I think he was asked a question as if someone wanted him to apologize. You know, this is his opinion. He's a tennis expert. He's entitled to his opinion. That kind of stuff drives me crazy. Anyway, what else? 4th of July. What were people searching for? When it is? Why do people search for this?
Good question. That actually was not one of our top search questions, so, you know, God bless America for that. People are actually searching for recipes for the big holiday weekend. Actually, our top five recipes are cupcakes, cookies, Jell-O shots, cheesecake, and deviled eggs. Also, on YouTube, grilling-related videos are actually the highest they are at any point of the year, including Labor Day and Memorial Day.
Wow. I don't know. I don't always search for the videos, but I do ask a lot of how-to, like, you know, how long to cook this or how long to cook that, because my tendency is to overcook quality meat. I do it every time. And I hit the grill with a hammer. That doesn't seem to help. Like, nothing works. Nothing works. What about Banfield Pet Hospital?
Well, this is interesting because this trend proves that exercise isn't just for the two-legged among us. Because according to a study conducted by the Banfield Pet Hospital, 1 in 3 cats and dogs in the U.S. are overweight due to poor diets and lack of exercise. Mm. Even though both species struggle with obesity, search interest in dog weight is much higher than cat weight.
Let me play a quick clip from the YouTube video of the week.
Hey!
How about this guy on America's Got Talent covering Whitney Houston?
Oh, my goodness. This guy is the next coming of Whitney Houston. No joke. Johnny Manuel auditioned for the judges this week and blew their socks off and literally everyone else's socks off with his rendition of Whitney Houston's powerful and very hard-to-sing ballad, I Have Nothing. Nearly 3 million people have come to YouTube to watch his performance. I dare you to watch it without crying. It is amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was a great great performance. Thank you, Charlotte. Google Trends expert Charlotte Smith with us live this morning. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. So, as you may know, blood-sucking ticks have always been a concern, but a mild winter and swelling populations of tick-carrying deer and mice have led to one of the worst tick seasons in years. Scientists say the Northeast especially is overrun right now. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates there are more than 300,000 new cases of Lyme disease in the U.S. a year, three times the rate of two decades ago. But guess who does not have a tick problem on her small farm in the woods of central Maine, where ticks have been known to take down a moose? The Wall Street Journal says it's a woman named Lisa Steele, a self-described professional chicken enthusiast, rarely finds ticks on her two pet dogs. She's convinced that her 10 barnyard hens are doing the job with their search and destroy tactic, which involves scratching and pecking their way through grass and mulch, looking for anything that moves. The CDC, by the way, says the chicken strategy is out of its area of expertise. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, just as it went into effect, the state of Hawaii went to federal court to challenge the Trump administration's travel order, saying it barred too many people. Meanwhile, the State Department sometime yesterday added fiancés to the list of people on the approved bona fide relationship list, but the definition still excludes grandparents, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins, and other extended family members. President Trump is drawing condemnation from members of his own party after he attacked two cable news hosts over their appearances and intellect in a series of tweets yesterday morning. He called MSNBC Morning Joe host Joe Scarborough Psycho Joe and co-host Mika Brzezinski Low IQ Crazy Mika, and added that when she came to his Florida resort, she was bleeding badly from a facelift. White House spokeswoman Sarah Huckabee Sanders defended the president's tweets.
When the president gets hit, he's going to hit back harder, which is what he did here today.
But many felt Trump's tweets went too far this time. House Speaker Paul Ryan.
Obviously, I don't see that as an appropriate comment. I think, look, what we're trying to do around here is improve the tone and the civility of the debate. And this obviously doesn't help do that.
Democrats who condemned Trump for his statements about women throughout the presidential campaign joined in. DNC spokeswoman Adrienne Watson called Trump's bullying tweets an attack on women everywhere. President Trump's commission investigating alleged voter fraud has asked states for a list of the names, party affiliations, addresses, and voting histories of all voters if state law allows it to be public. A letter from the Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity gives secretaries of state about 2 weeks to provide about a dozen points of voter data, saying the data will help it analyze vulnerabilities and issues related to voter registration and voting. Virginia's governor and the secretaries of state in California and Kentucky, all Democrats, have responded that they will not share that information. Well, if you've always wanted to see Adele in concert, you may be out of luck. The singer announced at her London concert this week that she may stop touring. The 29-year-old, who has been touring across the U.S., Europe, Australia, New Zealand over the past 15 months, says touring is a peculiar thing. It doesn't suit me particularly well.
Wow. Wonder what that's all about. Just not that into it.
Yeah,
I guess.
She always had said that she'd rather be in the studio making albums and out in front.
Good for her. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Thanks for being with us. 50 teenagers in Chicago on probation for a variety of offenses gathered at a prominent Southside mortuary for a funeral service. CBS News says it was not just anyone's funeral, it was their own. There were flowers, a soloist, a closed and empty casket, and a program that read on the front, quote, "The final effect of gun violence on youth, death, your funeral services." Pastor Michael Hodges told the young men, "We're here because we want to reach you." Probation officer James Worthington was also a licensed mortician who brought the idea to Leak and Sons funeral home. Mortuary President Spencer Leak eagerly signed on, also spoke during the two-hour service. Officer Worthington and Pastor Hodges have both participated in the funerals of young murder victims, and each says he would be pleased never to have to do another. Each teenager, by the way, received community service time. Before filing out, they were told that they will get more credit if they write their own obituary. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.